This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your Sports Bros on a Monday.
Sided.
Rob here, Suk right over there.
Sided.
That's him right there.
Yeah.
Sided.
Right here.
Coming up this hour, we will have our college football weekend reach around. Big Ten has begun.
Yeah, already we're seeing the same thing that's happening all around the country, right? Like, you expect one thing, and then here comes Penn State, who was predicted to finish second or third in that conference, and they lose to Indiana. So, I mean, just get ready for the Pac-12, because just outside of the handful of teams that you can rely on, it's going to be Thunderdome this year.
Yeah, we can't wait to talk about that Penn State-Indiana play. Man,
it's crazy.
It's like that blue dress, gold dress thing on Twitter. Remember that?
Yeah. Is it or isn't it?
Yeah. I thought he was out, but.
Did you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I did.
Okay.
I thought the ball hit the white chalk just short of the pylon before, but you can't really tell because you don't know where it crossed the,
across the
line.
It has crossed the line.
But tennis has, like, you know, the tennis has
the sensors,
the buzzer technology, the sensor technology. Why doesn't the NFL,
it's a lot harder than that, because in tennis, you don't have to worry about where your body is.
Yeah,
right? I mean, some of those things that you're talking about, it's bang, bang.
But if the ball had a chip in it.
Yeah, but again, are you talking about the tip of the ball and, you know, which side?
Just the tip.
Just the tip. I don't know. I just think sometimes it's so close that you go with what was called on the field. And again, in order for something to be overturned, it has to be clear. Right. And
well, anyway, we'll discuss that.
Our
college.
Crazy.
Football weekend reach around. It was great.
Thanks.
It was great.
Thanks for coming, Penn State, and go away.
Yeah, but they get Ohio State this week, so they're not going away.
Tell Ohio State thumps them, and then we can officially put them to bed. I'm just hoping everyone has two losses, because then maybe we get like a Cincinnati or a BYU gets a crack at this thing.
We'll wrap up the weekend in the NFL. Then in the club tonight, I managed to achieve the seemingly unachievable.
Okay.
Over the weekend. I'd like to tell you about it.
Please do share.
And the definition of white privilege, rich neighbors bickering over yard art.
This is where we're at.
Yeah, I've got a great story. Forwarded to me by one show contributor, sales extraordinaire, Kurt Ludwig.
Ah, he took time out of his busy drinking schedule to send us something.
He was like, hey, read this.
Yeah.
And it has made the club. It made the cut for the club.
Now, Kurt has taken to angrily emailing me when the podcast doesn't show up fast enough.
Ludwig?
And I'm talking about like within 20 minutes.
Well, he hates his life. Good. He's stuck at home.
He's trying to sell it.
Yeah, what else do you want from the man? I mean, there's a lot of people. See, we go to work every day and we don't hate our lives. And so I think you don't always understand what it's like to be trapped in a house and all you want to do is leave and there's no reason to leave and there's nowhere to go. And so you're just there. There's a lot of,
listen. Doesn't he have little kids?
Yeah, he's got little kids. Listen to the mental health commercials we're running. There's a reason why we're running these. People are ready to snap.
I think my roommate's legitimately going insane. He's been inside the entire time.
I've also got Tabasco news. But right now, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And
hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
That's the bottom line, damn it.
Can't wait.
Being great is really expensive.
Doodly squad diddly.
Number five.
Yes. Number five. Multiple NBA teams are asking the league for clarity on off-season dates.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This is because rumors are swirling that free agent deals are already being agreed to between players and teams.
How is that possible when no one knows exactly what the salary cap is going to be?
Zach Lowe stirred up Blazers Twitter with a comment about how Gordon Hayward of the Celtics could be a good fit in Portland.
Mm-hmm. And who exactly would Portland trade to make that work and take on the $30 million of salary?
All of them.
Everybody?
Everyone.
Raptors searching for places to play in the United States. This because due to COVID, U.S.-Canada travel has been banned.
Yeah.
So when they start up, the Raptors are like, hey, what about us?
You got a bubble in Buffalo?
Possibilities. Well, Buffalo, I don't think Buffalo has quite the arena. They're actually looking at Louisville or Kansas City.
Ooh, playing in the Yum Center.
Yeah.
Well, does it matter? Because there's not going to be any fans.
I don't think it does matter. Just get it. Get to the U.S., bubble up, and you know, you'll be good. Meanwhile, in other basketball news, the plan for a college basketball non-conference bubble in Orlando, that plan is now off due to, all they say is that testing talks have stalled.
Oh, okay.
Sook's fired up about that one.
Mildly confusing, but okay. Testing talks well, I think
they're well, yeah, they're probably trying to secure testing for the bubble, and they can't get it. And right. I don't know. Who knows?
So they can't get it, but the Pac-12 can?
Hell yeah,
yeah,
bro.
I was like, that's why I was a little mildly confused.
Football greater than basketball.
That hard? All right.
Seahawks say running back Chris Carson's foot injury is not considered significant. Now, the Seahawks go ahead and play the Niners coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's mid-foot sprain. They said he's you know, he's week to week, so.
But Carson's going to push to play because he never misses games.
Yeah. Well, and he's trying to play on a contract year, and quite frankly, Chris Carson has been really good.
Yeah,
there was a huge fall-off when he got hurt yesterday.
Yeah.
Also, another running back news. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey was back at practice today, but they say he still remains a long shot to play. Now, they play Thursday night against the Dirty Birds.
So. You see, too, that they cut one. I think he was a practice squad guy, but they cut one of their corners. He posted on Instagram, the Panthers, of him at a dance party with no mask on. Having
a
grand old time.
Wait, let me guess. He wasn't any good at football or else they would have kept him.
Yeah. Matt Rhule was asked if it was related, and Matt Rhule said no comment. So if you're not very good at football, don't post photos or Instagram videos of you dancing at clubs with no mask
on. Let's see. We got Bears-Rams Monday Night Football tonight. Chicago, if they win, they are 6-1.
This is actually going to be a pretty good game.
How about that?
The Bears are not.
The Bears are bad, and I'm sticking to this take. They are bad.
And yet they're 5-1.
No, they're not.
They are bad.
What? Bad?
They.
Dude, their defense is legit.
They are the most mind-boggling 5-1 team I've seen in a long time.
That's different than bad. They're not bad.
No, I will tell you that their wins may not be that impressive, but they did beat the Buccaneers, who a lot of people think right now is the team to beat in the in their conference.
And they came back and beat the Falcons. Oh, wait.
So does everybody else.
Look, they have a good defense that's going to keep them in games. I actually think this is going to be pretty good. I do like the Bears, though, getting 6.5.
Browns receiver Odell Beckham is out for the season.
Yeah, ACL tear.
On the first play of the game, trying to make the stupidest tackle I've ever seen. You see his leg kick up weirdly? What was he doing?
He's trying to make a play on
an interception. Unlucky. That sucks. Opens up playing time for Rashard Higgins. Meanwhile, Patriots coach Bill Belichick says Cam Newton is his starting quarterback, and the only reason he put Jarrett Stidham in the game on Sunday was the game was out of hand, and he wanted to get Stidham some reps.
I don't know what exactly is going on with Cam, who was pretty good at the start of the year. I don't know if it's COVID-related or if something's acting up. I looked at some of his passing charts. There's nothing you can really, kind of gain from that. He's not like the way he's throwing the ball mechanically is that much different, but something is up. And he even said it. Cam said, look, if I play like this, I'm not going to be the starter for
him. He short-armed a lot of throws yesterday.
He has to be better. Oh, yeah, he's skipping balls. I'm saying, when you look at his passing chart and where he's attempting passes, it's not that much different. It's just he's not completing things. Like, seemingly, even in clean pockets, he can't make routine throws. He's bad right now.
And number one, we have Pac-12 kickoff times for week one on November 7th. It was announced today. Of course, we already knew Arizona State USC will be 9 a.m. kickoff on Fox. Pac-12 at 9 a.m. should be interesting. The 1 o'clock game will be Arizona-Utah. That will be on ESPNU. 4 o'clock, UCLA-Colorado on ESPN2. Stanford-Oregon will slot in at 4:30, and that game will be on ABC. Washington-Cal will be on ESPN at 7:30, and we'll get dueling Washington programs at 7:30 on Saturday night, that Saturday night the 7th. When Washington State plays Oregon State in Corvallis, that game will also be 7:30 on FS1.
We get double Pac-12 After Dark.
Isn't that great?
And dare I say, I think the game of the week, I know everyone is saying USC, Arizona State, I think it's Cal UW. Oh. That's the one I'm most intrigued by. One, I want to see what UW does, first year under Jimmy Lake. And UW has been kind of the class along with Oregon of the North the last couple years. And then I think Cal going into the year was kind of the surprise team. Cal on paper should be good. They returned more starters than anyone else. When Garbers was in last year, they were really good. The defensive side of the ball should be loaded with talent, and with an offense that's coming along, I think Cal was a sleeper. The problem is Cal and Stanford both probably were negatively affected by COVID more so than any other squad. So I want to see where they kind of sort this thing out. So I think that one will be one that I will I'll circle. I want to watch that.
One other note, Oregon canceled its second scrimmage on Saturday after 5 positive antigen tests. Mario Cristobal said all the people that tested positive are asymptomatic. So the follow-up PCR tests were administered yesterday, and we do not know what came of that.
So remember, the PCR is the rapid one, or the antigen test or the rapid test. This is like what Saban had. And then you just need to test negative a couple days in a row and you can be fine. So if you're an Oregon fan, you're crossing fingers that A, everyone's okay, and that you can get back to practice because, well, you're kind of coming up on game week here real quick.
It's brought to you by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Our weekend college football reach-around is next on The Fan.
Yeah! Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's time for our college football weekend reach-around. We'll wrap up the NFL, hopefully before the end of the hour, because we've already spoken a lot about what happened in the National Football League and World Series Game 5, or wait, 4. Was that Game 4 Saturday?
Game 4 was the crazy one. Yeah. Game 5 was last night, the 4-2?
Yeah, and it was,
I mean, just the Rays had opportunities. They got cooked. Was in the fourth when they had first and third, no out.
Didn't score.
Didn't get one across. Then they had another one with two men on, I think with one out. The sixth or seventh and couldn't get it across. Like you said, just they, you know, it's feast or famine with them. They strike out so very much.
So one of the things about college football that to me was, excuse me, COVID. Evident this weekend was you need the more games you have, you need a ton more games in order for it to be entertaining.
Sure.
I think one of the reasons, I'm just speaking for me personally as a sports fan, it was harder for me to get into college football through the first, whatever it was, 5, 6, 7 weeks, was there just weren't enough game. Most of the college football games are blowouts because they're mismatches.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any good non-conference matchups. So you really need a ton of games in order to get past all of the blowouts and all the dumb crap, and then you get a handful of 5, 6, 7 games that are amazing that you wind up turning the channel to or you are talking about on Monday.
Sure.
So we added the Big Ten in the Mountain West this weekend, and lo and behold, that added Penn State, some spice.
Penn State-Indiana gave us the most, by far, the most compelling game of the of the week, and that was, you know, Penn State, number 8 in the country, supposed to be a national title contender, and they went down in overtime to Indiana on the closest play that you can ever see.
So to me, when you in 2 weeks, when you add Pac-12 in there, now you're talking. Yeah. You got everybody playing, at least hopefully, pending all the COVID testing and stuff. And that's when college football weekends get a little wild because inevitably something crazy happens. But when you have so few games like you did earlier in the year, maybe you're talking about one game on Monday. Like that's kind of the crappy thing about college football that nobody really discusses much is there's S ton of blowouts.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, looking around this week, right? I saw Penn State and Indiana, which was crazy. I didn't get to see it, but Iowa State, Oklahoma State turned out to be a good game. Oklahoma State's the only undefeated team left in the Big 12, and they eked one out 24-21. Didn't see that. Outside of that, I watched a little bit. I was watching the first half of Nebraska and Ohio State, and hey, for like...
it was tied in the second quarter.
Yeah, for a little bit, you were like, oh, look at Nebraska. And then like you blink and... you know, it's over, right?
It ended up being 52-17. But it was tied 14-14 in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was mildly intriguing there. And then Ohio State put their foot on the gas. But outside of that, I don't know what was good. Michigan-Minnesota was supposed to be good. That wasn't. You know, Kansas.
What?
Yeah. 55-14. It just...
yeah, no, I saw it.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to grab onto.
Well, we did have Indiana Penn State, and that was great.
Yes.
I don't know if you thought he was in or out.
I thought he was in.
You did?
I did.
Okay. See, I thought he was out. But, of course, it was too close to call, and the call on the field was what was important. And Indiana stuns Penn State with a two-point conversion to end the game. And I love the balls by generic football coach Tom Allen to go for two in the win.
I've always said that if you are the lesser team, and make no mistake about it, Indiana is the lesser team. The longer the game goes, the worse it is for you. Like if I'm Indiana and you told me at the start of that football game, I'll give you one play. I'll give you a 2-point conversion right here, right now. You make this play, you win the game. You take it every time. You play the entire game and then that benefits Penn State. So I love the fact that they're like, screw it, we'll go for it. And that guy,
man,
it was their quarterback. I forget what his name was, but I mean,
what's his nuts?
Yeah,
never talk about again.
Exactly, you'll never speak of it again. But
he had his moment.
You couldn't have a clue because the ball even comes out of his hand. It just comes down to, did the tip of the ball nick the pylon before his knee went down? It was a great play, but I love to see. I just love to see that kind of chaos. I'm hoping it's that kind of year that you get this sort of shakeup. And you know, so far we've seen, we've seen from the ACC, the SEC, now the Big Ten, we've seen all these early contenders fall by the wayside in the first,
3 weeks. Clemson and Bama.
I'm saying a lot of these contenders, there has been contenders from each conference, from Oklahoma, Texas, to Florida, to LSU, and now Miami, Penn State. I mean, these were all at one point top 12 teams that have a loss, some cases now too.
Yeah, the Hoosiers, who are not known for their football.
No.
Snapped a 42-game losing streak against AP top 10 teams. They hadn't beaten a top 10 team since 1987.
Dude, that's crazy.
Think about that. That and Rutgers won.
Yes.
Did you see that? Greg Schiano took Rutgers. They went into Michigan State and won.
Now, I will say this on record. The last 3 years, there is not a more painful offense to watch in any level of football, from Stan Gertz, Pee Wee Raiders at the local level, up through high school, college, and the NFL. There is no offense that is more painful to watch than whatever the hell Michigan State is running out there. And
did you watch some of this
and
game?
They got clipped by Rutgers.
You saw Rutgers, Michigan State?
No.
Nobody saw that.
Because you shouldn't watch anything that Michigan State's playing. Because can't play offense.
Do you think Tennessee wants Greg Schiano back right about now?
Yeah.
Because they played Alabama and got bludgeoned.
Yes, they did. Well, and that Tennessee, that thing.
Well, I say want him back. They never had him. But I guess they kind of did have him.
Yeah, they had him.
They wanted him.
When Schiano wanted to go there.
And then the AD said no, right?
Yeah, because his name, remember, it was a Clay Travis thing, right? His name, Clay Travis wrote an article about it and freaked out because Schiano's name, unsubstantiated, was brought up in the...
Penn State thing.
In the Penn State Sandusky thing.
But I thought Travis was the other side of it where he was saying they should have, like, you screwed it up. They should let Schiano be hired.
I thought he was the one calling to the carpet. Either way,
I try not to pay too much attention to Clay Travis's bits, but
yeah, nor should you.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, if you want to talk about the most disappointing team in the country,
Tennessee,
it might be Tennessee.
This really? Were they supposed to be good?
This was supposedly a year where they were going to compete, and that they were going to turn the corner and they were going to start competing with the big boys.
Just wait. USC will outdo them.
And they lost horribly to Georgia, Kentucky, and now Alabama. I mean, and by the way, Arkansas is going to whoop their ass next week, too.
By the way, Alabama has 94 straight wins. 94 against unranked teams. 94, dude.
Yeah. Dude, they are there is a separation right now in the haves and the have-nots in college football, and Alabama is right near the top.
Although, who is Bama's quarterback now?
Mac Jones. Hmm. Waddle, by the way, out for the year, though. Good thing they only have, like, four other All-American wide receivers.
That's too bad, though. Jalen Waddle's a fun watch.
He was. He's a wide receiver for Alabama. He broke his ankle, and, yeah, he's a first-round pick, but, yeah, he's out for the year.
So that streak of 94 straight against unranked teams started in 2007.
Well, I mean,
they just don't lose. They just don't get upset.
No, from a talent point, I mean, how can you? How can you beat that squad?
Well, you know, upsets happen.
And can we say 47-21 Syracuse with a moral victory?
Did they play well, Mikey? Syracuse?
Well, they were.
They must have.
They were close at halftime.
Oh, I know.
And then it all stopped being close. But, you know,
Dabo got all butthurt because people were asking him what went wrong in the post-game press conference. And he got all defensive. Because, you know.
Yeah, he was asking if he was at the right press conference.
Yes.
Here's the only thing Syracuse does well is they play defense and force turnovers. And that's why they stayed in the game early. And their offense gave it all back in the second half. I couldn't watch it because it's on ACC Network because Comcast doesn't have that. But
so you win 73-7. People expect things? Is that – and Dabo's pissed about that?
Yeah, he's pissed. That, I mean, to be fair, they did win, what, 47-21. And the story afterwards was, what's wrong with Clemson?
Well, Syracuse, the spread was 46. Yeah. That's what's wrong.
That's a cover.
And Syracuse was close early in the third quarter. So there were some question marks, you know?
Also, it didn't take long for Ohio State to jump to number three in the rankings.
No.
They hammered Nebraska, yeah. And they are number three.
Now, I did not think that there was any chance we'd ever get a group of five or an independent into the playoff. But if you keep getting this chaos and you end up with a bunch of two-loss teams, you got Cincinnati sitting there at 7 and BYU sitting there at 11.
So 9 teams.
But you said last week Cincinnati wasn't good. Have you changed your mind?
No, but they don't play anyone. It's the same thing with BYU, right?
I don't know, man. BYU looks pretty good.
Look, if you look at Cincinnati's schedule the rest of the way, it's better than BYU's. But if Cincinnati wins out, their best win will be over unranked Central Florida or Army. And it's the same thing with BYU. They don't play anyone, Jeez. Which is why I said there's no chance for any of these teams. But if you look at some of the chaos that happens, we're all assuming that Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State get in. You're talking about one spot. And so you need a bunch of two-loss teams. But the Big 12 is trending that way. There's not going to be another SEC team if Alabama runs the table that's just going to be a one loss. Already you've seen Penn State fall. Maybe there's some chaos. I just think it'd be fun to see one of those teams, but, you know, it's probably just a pipe dream.
So there are 9 teams that have played at least 4 games, because some teams have only played 1. COVID has been... You know, just teams are all over the board. But there are 9 teams that have played at least 4 games who are unbeaten. You have Clemson and Alabama. You have Oklahoma State. You have Notre Dame. After that, you have BYU, mm-hmm. Marshall, Coastal Carolina, and Liberty.
It could, if there's ever going to be a year where something funky would happen, it can be this
year.
So
I want you guys to harken back to when I predicted the college football playoff before everything started. And I said it would be Cincinnati, Marshall, Oklahoma State, and Liberty. I want you guys to remember
that. Yes, I do. I remember that call.
Okay.
I think you got a ticket on that somewhere, right?
Yeah, it was very specific, but we all were like, he's really, really
wonder
sold.
Why those teams.
Because they're Carolina.
Awesome. I'm just saying, USC, Oregon, be careful. Because we've seen opening weekend in every major conference, one of their big dogs has gotten sniped. One of them has gotten Daniel Jones.
Oh yeah.
And you look in the Pac-12, the two big dogs are USC and Oregon, right? Everyone thinks it's going to be one of those two teams. And we've seen it from LSU to Penn State to Texas to Oklahoma. You know, we've seen this, that early on you can get cut off at the knees. So I don't know why the Pac-12, with probably more disruption than anyone else, would be any different. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting November 7th when this thing kicks off.
Did you see the Wisconsin quarterback tested positive for the COVID?
No, I did not.
Yeah. And I haven't seen the follow-up today, but he could be out 3 weeks. And Wisconsin's supposed to be like...
Yeah, because the Big Ten...
Right in there, too.
Yeah, the three teams were Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. So Penn State, bye. And we got Wisconsin and,
bye.
And Ohio State. Who does Wisconsin have next over the next couple of weeks? Because the Big Ten, bye. If you test positive for the COVID, it's 21 days.
Yeah,
it's
that's
3 weeks.
That's right. I'm sure they'll find a way to make it a false positive.
Yeah, they've got Nebraska, Purdue... But then Michigan.
Hey, Michigan looked pretty good. We pile on Michigan.
Yes.
But we should probably hand it to them. They went into Minnesota and kicked the crap out of the Gophers.
Yes.
And the Gophers got up. I was watching that game early and then switched over to the World Series. The Gophers got up 7-0 on them. And
we were all like, Michigan.
Totally. We were laughing. It's like, oh, man, PJ Flex really got that program cruising. And before you could blink, turn it back over to that game, Michigan was hammering them.
Yeah, who's that little quarterback they have? Who is it? Milton Mixon? I
don't know.
He looked really good.
What his name was, but
Joe Milton.
Michigan. How long before they jump Oregon? Rinse and repeat. It's the same story every year.
Well, I mean,
seriously,
next year.
They'll jump Oregon
next week. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll lose to Ohio State, and then they'll be out.
And my final thing, because Mike's begging us to go. My other hot Big Ten take is
Hot
love
Big Ten take.
The throwback white Michigan unis. I freaking love them. It's as good a look as there is in college football. It's just great.
Right. I just have always preferred the whites.
I do. I like the whites. I'm guilty of it.
We've got Tabasco news.
Who would have thought this was? Who had this on their bingo sheet?
And I also have a couple of items left over from college football regarding the kicking game, which we need to bring up.
Okay.
And we'll get to those next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, a couple of quick kicking game notes. Because you know me, I follow the college kicking game closely.
Oh, I know. It's like you just love it. I mean, before every Saturday, Rob sends me a text. He's like, get ready for some more hot college kicking this
weekend. Why do you think he picked Coastal Carolina and Liberty before the season? He looked deep into the kicking stats.
I do have my kicking game rankings that I put out every Saturday morning. And I do send them to you.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Proprietary, but I give them to you because you're my friend and co-host.
I'm honored.
So Rice, they have a kicker by the name of Colin Riccatelli.
Mm.
And they pulled a Cliff Kingsbury and basically knelt on the ball three straight plays and gave the kid a 45-yard field goal. They thought that was good enough.
I just say for the record, at any level, college in the NFL, I am baffled at how the 40-plus yard field goal has now just become, we don't need to get any more yards. Hey, we moved the ball down at an alarming clip here. We've got 30 seconds left, maybe a timeout, plenty of time in if we don't to spike the ball. We don't need any more yards. I will just kneel down right here for the 45-yarder. Every time that a team does that, I desperately want them, unless I have money on it. I want that dude to shank the kick.
Well, he did not shank it, but I've never seen this ever in sport.
Okay, now I have not seen this because I, unlike you, am not up on my kicking or Rice football. So I do not know of what you speak.
It hit the
is this upright
one,
is
and
this the
one,
the four bar?
It hit four times.
Okay, I did see this, and I had no idea. This is how I could care less about kicking. I saw that clip multiple times. I had no idea that was Rice.
So the ball... He kicks it off the left upright.
Yeah.
The right upright. It ricochets, hits the crossbar, hits the left upright, hits the crossbar again, then rolls out, not in. That would have won the game for Rice. Instead, they lost.
That cost him the game.
It was an overtime.
I didn't know. That was one of those things that was circulated on Twitter of like, can you believe this? And it shoots across like when he hits the upright hard and that thing goes a skidding. Is that, I need like a next gen stats or the Elias Sports Bureau. Has that ever happened? You hit the bar four times.
I've never seen it.
You hit all three, including the crossbar twice.
And the best is to watch the players' reactions as it hits once, twice, three, four. And then there's some question as to whether it fell in or came out. Unbelievable. And the other kicking game bit of news, and this is a horrible way to lose a game.
And boy, I'm watching it again, And as it, the first one, as it goes in, I mean, it looks like it's good. Like it's, I mean, it is, it, that couldn't be.
Any he just, that's unlucky.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And yeah, that was the first overtime. They would have, I believe they would have won, or maybe it was just the first possession of overtime. So maybe they would have been up three and had to hold.
Yeah.
But the other team, which was Middle Tennessee State, scored a touchdown and won the game.
It says the clip I'm watching said it was a chance to win the game in OT. So.
All right. Well, anyway, the other one was Western Kentucky was leading Tennessee Chattanooga 13-10 with a minute 21 left. So there was a chance Tennessee Chattanooga could put something together and score, but they'd only scored 10 points in the whole game. And Western Kentucky kicks off after scoring to take the lead 13-10. Dude returns it for a touchdown. There's a flag. They get on and they explain that he called for a fair catch. And if you, I don't know if you've seen the video of this one.
No, I haven't. But if you call for a fair catch and then go to run it, it's a penalty.
Well, okay. So they said that wasn't the return man that called the fair catch. It was the upback. And the upback wasn't even in the shot on TV. He wasn't in the camera angle. So nobody can see it. Nobody knows.
Huh.
They just claimed that the upback was the one who called a fair catch, which the coach was saying, well, why the hell would my upback call a fair catch?
Where do I see this? What do I Google?
Internet.
Well, you can't see it. Like Rop is saying, you won't be able to see call it.
Yeah, but you can see the call. Western Kentucky, Tennessee Chat. That's who it was. Okay. Fair catch. Anyway, what a horrible way to lose a game.
Wow.
Because you scored the go-ahead touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, once you call fair catch.
But
I mean,
why would the upback call a fair catch? Did they misinterpret the upback trying to call a fair catch? I mean, I know that's on the player. If he does.
Is it possible that he just moved his, I don't know.
Right, that's what I mean.
I mean, because you have that before. I mean, because not everyone waves their hand back and forth. I mean, there has been controversy before about did someone call the fair catch or not.
Very lame.
And it's not any, I mean, because I'm guessing there's not a bunch of cameras, right? I mean.
Well, again, it is not in the angle. And you can't see it.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're playing, you know, Alabama, whatever, Alabama, Tennessee, there's a million cameras. But you, a lot of these small time programs, you don't have a lot of, camera angles.
Anyway, horrible way to go. Or not go. They didn't die, but lose.
No, they did not. That is heartbreaking. You run it back and then it gets called.
And here's your Tabasco news of the day. Apparently, Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, who was under fire.
As well, he
probably should have been fired on the tarmac.
He sucks rocks.
He had to, apparently he was, to his credit, he was meeting with the media today.
I think he kind of have to. The NFL requires it.
All coaches?
Yes. I think coordinators and head coaches, I do believe you are required to have press. I don't think you can hide.
All right, well, he didn't hide.
Although he did cut it short.
He did, because he got Tabasco sauce in his eye. And he said he had to leave because it was hot. And if you've ever done that, that sucks. I've done that.
Have you? I've never done Tabasco sauce. But, I mean, if you have something on your hand, you rub your eye.
That sucks.
By the way, that is the most Dallas Cowboy thing ever.
Dude.
Sorry, I'm going to have to leave now because, well, I have Tabasco in my eye.
Can't make it up.
No. And by the way, he needs to be fired tomorrow. He is not good.
Yesterday, you mean?
Why
tomorrow?
Well, I mean.
What, do you give him another day?
Yeah, give him another day. Yeah. Fired yesterday, tomorrow. Get rid of him. He is bad.
Do you remember when Oregon was talking about him as their offense or as their defensive coordinator?
God.
Remember that?
Please don't.
And wasn't his name coming up for head coach when they were looking for Cristobal?
I don't know about that.
I think it was.
Was it?
Yes.
I remember Sumlin. I remember Fleck.
Because, he coached at Oregon, Nolan.
Well, he certainly can't coach a lick of defense. He was bad in Atlanta as their DC, and he's even worse as the Cowboys. If you're Mike McCarthy and you value your job at all, you fire his ass at the end of this year.
He played there, and then he was a grad assistant at Oregon.
Well, there's just some coordinators that I do not get.
So maybe he didn't coach there.
Why they keep getting...
Other than grad assistants. Yeah, he's been everywhere.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy's been all over the place.
Yes. But he, like, if you look as...
Broncos. Look at this. Broncos, Giants, Redskins, Jets, Ravens, Niners, Ravens, Broncos, Dolphins, Falcons, Chargers, Saints, Cowboys.
Someone's saying even Nolan's eye can't play defense. Look at the defenses that he has run. Everywhere he's gone, his defenses get progressively worse. So this is the scary part. They get worse once he's there. How can it get any worse? They're at the threshold of hell right now as the Cowboys.
And he was coach. Wasn't he the guy that wore the suit for the Niners?
For the Niners, yeah.
Yeah.
He insisted that Reebok make him a suit.
I love that about him, but...
Might I also add...
didn't work out.
Another guy that everywhere he goes, his defenses stink and he shouldn't be a coordinator, Ken Norton Jr.
Ah,
you're not, Seahawks? He's not good.
Well, does he have any good players? Jamal Adams is hurt. Clowney's not there.
He is consistently a bad defensive coordinator. Why does someone keep giving him a job? Stop.
You stop.
No, I won't.
Where's Rashard? I thought he was... Well, Rashard was in Dallas.
And now he's not there?
And Mike Nolan's now. So, yeah, where's Rashard now?
I don't know.
Who hired him? I thought he was like the next up and coming hotshot guy of sports.
Neither one can coach defense. It's not good.
Let me look up Chris Rashard real quick.
Someone said, I bet you he stays awake during interviews. Probably. You got Tabasco in your eye.
He is currently unemployed.
What? Dude, that's weird.
He was defensive backs coach, defensive play caller, and passing game coordinator. Weird. For the Cowboys in 18 and 19.
Well, this says January 13, 2020, it was reported that he would not be retained by Dallas. Boy, that's weird. I think the Seahawks should call him, and they should call Dan Quinn when he gets fired. Oh, wait, he already did.
Why
is Dan Quinn not on the horn to Seattle about returning as their defensive coordinator? He was good when he was there.
Yes.
Am I wrong, Bill?
They need to do something, and they need to do something now.
Any of those hot takes wrong?
No. It can't get any... This is my point. It can't get any worse. It just can't.
All right. We wrap up the football weekend next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I looked up old Ken Norton Jr.'s record as a defensive coordinator going back to his days in Oakland. He has presided over the 26th, 24th, 23rd, 26th, 32nd ranked defenses. One year, he was 19th. That was his best year, 19th.
Wow.
So I don't get it. Mike Nolan, by the way, very similar. Now, he was a defensive coordinator way back when, like in Baltimore, and they were good back in the early 2000s.
But that's where he kind of made his name.
That's where he made his name. But since he got to San Francisco, their defenses stunk. So 27th, 27th, 18th. And then he went to Denver, 21st. And then he was in Miami. He had one good year in Miami where they were 11th. And then Atlanta, 26th, 32nd, 27th. And now he's in Dallas. And I think we know about Dallas's defense. So again, I ask the question, why does he keep getting jobs running defenses?
He's the Sam Bradford of coaches.
I don't get it. It's Jeff Fisher. Why do people keep hiring him? All because back in the day, like when he was with Baltimore, and by the way, those defenses were loaded with Hall of Famers, they were good.
So
he didn't build any of those defenses. He inherited it.
When the Ravens won with Trent Dilfer, and was he like defensive coordinator of that team then?
No, I think Marvin Phillips was Marvin Lewis, I think, was the defensive coordinator of that. Let me look up the Ravens Super Bowls and I will see what years they won. Because they have multiple Super Bowls.
I thought it was the Trent Dilfer year was 2000.
What year was that? I got to go back and look. And
I'm going to be way off.
And see what years they won the Super Bowl. I don't know. Nope, you're right. 2000 Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and he was wide receivers coach. Oh, no, he was defense coordinator of the Jets that year.
Yeah, he was with the Jets. So again, he inherited that. He inherited that defense.
Right.
So I don't, when was their second? That they won the Super Bowl.
2000, let's see, that was the Kaepernick year. So 13?
Yeah, it wasn't.
He wasn't there then.
No, he wasn't there. So he was long gone. So no, but I just don't get it. That's just it's a head scratcher for me. But you know, it's kind of, you get a good old boys network. You're Mike McCarthy. You're like, well, Mike Nolan's been around a long time. And I remember when he hired him and he gave the big spiel about, well, it's another set of eyes and he's been a head coach before and he's long trusted. He's been in this league for 28 years. This is my point. The NFL has changed quite a bit, right? I don't understand this idea that, oh, the guy's been a defense coordinator since 1993. Let's hire him. Maybe get someone that's a little more adept at the modern offenses. It's like when Monty Kiffin from Tampa went back to USC. Remember what a debacle that was when he was there with Lane? He's like, whoa, what's this? Oh, yeah, the college game's slightly different. I mean, I don't know if it's passed him by or what, but that guy hasn't been a good defensive coordinator in 7 years. And yet somehow McCarthy thought that he was a good guy for the job.
All right. Well, everything we didn't get to, and there's a lot of it, goes into NFL Week 7 leftovers. And hopefully we'll tackle all that tomorrow.
Good thing we have tomorrow and the next day. And
tackle
next
being a football day, term. You get see what I did there?
I do.
Tackle
I did. I saw.
But right now we're going to punt.
Mm. From our own, 45? Are we going to be gutless and punt?
That's a great tease because I want to tell you a quick story of how I managed to achieve the seemingly unachievable this weekend.
Okay.
I punted because sometimes as a married man, you have to punt. You know this well.
Oh, absolutely.
I did punt.
You play a prevent defense.
But man, did I pin her deep. That came out wrong. But I'll explain next
how
on
deep,
the fan.
How deep did you pin her?
Please tell us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.